قد حضركم
شهر فيه ليلة خير من ألف شهر، شهر جعل الله صيام نهاره فريضة وقيام ليله تطوعا، وكما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. يا رب صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم رحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. الحمد لله. My respected elders, علماء كرام, beloved brothers, Allah has blessed us in this that we have this Jumu'ah day and we are arriving, we are rapidly approaching a very, very pertinent month. The month that's the most important in the entire year. Imagine our beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anhu's hadith, that the entire year Jannah is decorated. إِنَّ الْجَنَّةِ لَتُزَيَّنُ مِنَ السَّنَةِ إِلَى السَّنَةِ لِدُخُولِ شَهْرِ رَمَضَانِ. Jannah is decorated throughout the year for a month. Which is this month? The month of Ramadan. This month is arriving. But worrying is this fact that we don't know when the month arrives, will we be above the earth or beneath the earth? How many were here yesterday and not here today? So it's not about age. It's about Allah's decree subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when Ramadan comes in, قَالَتِ الْجَنَّةِ. Jannah addresses Allah. Oh Allah, give us your bando, your special bando, guarantee their entry into us in this month. اللهم اجعلنا من عبادك في هذا الشهر سكانا. Then the damsels of paradise, because the believer stays away from haram in this month. He appreciates the wife Allah gave him. He's good to her. He's kind to her. So when he stayed away from adultery and from wrong, preserved his limbs for Allah's pleasure, the damsels of paradise say, oh Allah, make us halal for your mu'min bando in paradise. And yes, in Jannah it won't be a way where our wives will be hurt or upset. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it halal in a beautiful manner. But whatever a believer stayed away from for Allah's pleasure, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives him the greatest of bliss and pleasure in paradise, in a clean, pure manner. Now there's another hadith. I want you to deliberate for a few moments. Who is the narrator of this hadith? Because that narrator of this hadith is the sahabi who lived for the longest life. From all the sahaba, he lived the longest. Imagine he lived for 300 years. Can anyone today live for 300 years? Now this is no fairy tale. Allah prolonged his life because of a special quality. He had the zest for truth. Searching for the truth. He was a fire worshipper. Now the first hadith in the book of Ramadan that you have in your home, I want you to go home and open that beautiful kitab. And see, the first hadith is the hadith of this sahabi who I am going to narrate his incident to you. It's how he journeyed for the truth. Now, while you are sitting, imagine who this great person is. I'm not going to take his name right just right now. I'm going to leave you in suspense for a little while and I want to see if you know this great sahabi's name. His name formerly was Mada bin Budikhshan. And the narrator comes to him, his student, the Tabi'i. At this time, he was the governor in Madain. Madain is Ctesiphon. It was the capital of the world in the them day. The superpowers of the them day were the Persian and the Roman Empire. They were elite. They had everything of luxury. This was the capital, Madain. Now the narrator says, I came to this great sahabi and I said to my relative who knew him that I want to greet this great sahabi because I love him. So this sahabi said, I also love you and Allah loves you because you love me for Allah's pleasure. He says, I want to know your story, how you came onto this path. So he goes into the detail. He says, now there's two different narrations of this and I'm going to try and put both together. Allah help me. He says, I was a young man in charge of my, the fire in my area. Ram Hurmuz. I took care of the fire. I made sure the fire kindled and everyone used to come and worship that fire. My father loved me. He owned property, but he didn't let me go free because he worried that I mustn't denounce his creed. Now in this, there's another report where he met certain people on one occasion worshipping Allah in the wilderness. So he joined them and then he came back to his father. But his father didn't let him go free. One day his father needed him to go on an errand to see some revenue at his property in a nearby town. He said, I went for my father. En route, I passed the church. And the people in the church were worshipping Allah. And I found that to be better than what I was upon. We worshipping. There's idols there and there's the fire. He says, I was so upset about the fact that I have to kindle the fire and everyone comes and worships the fire. The fire needs me to live. And there's a being who made us that we're denouncing. So this didn't make sense to me, what the people were involved in. What happened then was, when I saw them worshipping in the church, I joined them. And I spent a few hours with them. I didn't even realize so much of time went by. I realized now it's evening. I then, instead of going to the revenue of my father, property, I returned home. My father was worried about me. He sent a few people to look for me. They didn't find me. When I got home, he asked me, where were you, son? I said, father, I found the purer way. So my father said, what? Are you going to denounce the creed of your forefathers? Never, over my dead body. My father put me into shackles. And I was shackled and incarcerated. Anyway, through certain people who were serving me, because this young man was a man of character, I spoke to them and they got my message to the church that you told me that the source of this religion is Christ and he is from Sham, the Holy Lands. Sham is Lebanon, Syria, Jordan, parts of Egypt, parts of Turkey. But the center of Sham, the capital of Sham throughout history is Palestine. Palestine, and that's the land of Hazrat Isa alayhi salam. Hazrat Isa alayhi salam hailed from there. And when talking to Christians, tell them this, that we love Christ and we know where he came from. And the Quran mentions Isa alayhi salam 25 times by the name Christ. Anyway, I sent a message to them, when you all know anyone going in that direction, get the message to me. A few weeks later, I get a message. I try and escape. Allah made it easy for me. I joined that caravan from the church going to Syria. He says, there I asked for information. Who is the origin? Who is the senior? Who's the most senior in this religion of truth? And they took me to the senior archbishop of Christianity in that region. I sought his permission to accompany him and to serve him, to learn from him. He permitted me. I spent some time in his company. This sahabi says, I found that he was an evil human being because he advocated something and did something else. What he taught, he never practiced. What he propagated, he never practiced. And he advocated charity. People used to give it to him, entrust him to give it to the needy, and he hoarded it all for himself. Allah save us from such kinds of people. When he died, they all wanted to give him a royal burial. I divulged the reality. I said to them that you're burying this man and you show him such respect, but he was a real liar. They got very upset with me. I proved it to them. Oh, they were so upset they refused to bury him. They stoned his dead body. But this sahabi says, but the man designated after him was a wonderful person. Whatever he taught, he practiced. His night was in prayer. What we learn from here, this great sahabi didn't give up on truth due to one individual being so evil. And Allah opens the way. So the second teacher was really amazing. I spent time in his company. He taught me. I served him. Polite, character, helpful. Few years later, he was on his deathbed. I said to him, sir, you know my condition. I've come here to learn from you. I love the truth. What do I do? Who do I follow after you? Who will be my teacher and my guide? So he said to me, my son, those in this region have all distorted the truth. There's nobody left who are on the true belief in one God. See, belief in Tawheed was dying in the world. believe in the oneness of Allah. That's why explaining to people the beauty of Islam, connect to Allah's oneness. That's really, really pertinent and important. Even before the time of our Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, 300 years after Isa Alayhi Salam and 300 years before Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, there was a very interesting debate called the debate or the discussion of Nicaea, where there was one man who stood for the truth. Our Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned him, Aryus. And all the other Christians were calling for Trinity. And this individual stood up with righteousness and he won the debate of Tawheed, but then he was banished. So anyway, this Sahabi says, my teacher then said to me, you have to go to another town to find someone on truth. That town is quite far from here, 6-day journey. You ready? He says, I'm ready. I've come all the way to you, right from Iraq, from the lands of Persia. I'm ready to go wherever you send me, sir. He journeys now to Mosul. He says, I spent years in his company. On his dying bed, I said to him, sir, where do I go? He said to me, even after me here, those taking over have all distorted the truth. What do I do? Where do I go? He says, go to another land if you're interested. Amuria. I journeyed. And like this, he goes to so many teachers searching for the truth. Searching. There are many people out there looking for the truth. And Shaitan is trying to hinder them. They try and take a few steps. Shaitan tries to block them. That's why we have to make dua for each other. Shaitan's forces are increasing in the world. He's sending more and more. Dajjal is sending out more and more people to stop people from accepting the truth. And those who are in the truth, Shaitan tries to block us from calling to the truth and sharing the truth. He wants us to hoard it for ourselves, and that is unfair. But what happened to this great Sahabi? I spent years in his company. On his dying bed, I asked him, sir, where do I go? And while I was with him, I earned also. So I had a flock, I had cattle, I had sheep. He said to me, you know, my son, there's no one left remaining on truth. But what you should do is the time has arrived for the final messenger of Allah. He's clear verbatim in our books. Now, the one report mentions it like this. The other report mentions this final teacher of mine. This famous report you must have heard, right? There's another amazing report in Bayhaqi where he says, I traveled with this teacher of mine to Palestine. And while we were there, he was an ascetic. He didn't eat much. His night was in prayer. His day was in worship. He was praying there. And there was a very sickly, paralyzed man outside, you know, outside the place of prayer. So he greeted us and my teacher didn't respond to him much, just greeted him and left him. Afterwards, when he was leaving, the paralyzed man says, wouldn't you help me now? He said to me that he actually held the hand of the man who was paralyzed. And this Sahabi says, he prayed for him and that man got cured. Then I went behind my teacher. My teacher said to me, don't follow me now, because now you have to go to the lands of Arabia. Because the final messenger of Allah who has come for the whole world, his time is come. The place of his birth is mentioned in the books and the place of his migration. So I said, describe this land to me. He described it to me as a land full of date palm trees, surrounded by two rocky terrain, Harratain in Arabic. The city has two mountains, mountainous areas that was melted. So it's slippery, mountainous regions called Harra in Arabic, surrounding the city from two directions. And the city is full of date palm trees. When you meet the final messenger of Allah, you will see that he will not eat charity, but he'll share with others. But if you gift him honorably, he'll partake and also share. And you'll find another sign is behind on his shoulder blade, you'll find the seal of prophethood. He says, now I'm yearning to go to this land because this is the man I'm waiting for and I'm looking for. This report says there was a group of people who offered to take me there. They were from the Banu Kalb clan. They asked me, what will you pay us? I said, I'll give you anything you want, whatever I have. They said, will you give us this entire flock? I said, all is yours. Just take me to the city. They took me to an area called Wadi al-Qura. Yes, it had date palm trees, but they treacherously sold me to a Jewish family. from a free life, I'm now sold into slavery. Look at the sacrifice the Sahabi went through. Now I'm a slave. From being a slave, I'm slogging, I'm working. This family sold me to another Jewish family from the Banu Qurayza clan. They came to visit their relatives in this area, Wadi al-Qura. They then bought me and took me to another city. And I'm seeing this city as they escort me into the city. This city is just like the city as was described by my teacher in Amuriya. This is the city. And now I'm working for this Jewish family. And one day, as I was on top of the tree, and imagine, this Sahabi is more than 200 years by this time. But Allah kept him young and strong. He didn't look that age. Hafiz ibn Hajar says he was so old, but Allah kept him young. And the fact of his advanced age is true. He says it's not a fabrication, it's no fairy tale. He said, I'm on top of the tree, tying the clusters of the dates. Now, interesting is we're going to eat khajur in the month of Ramadan. It's a very Mubarak fruit. The date is called cluster, right? Unqud. Now, when you pluck the fruit, when it's fresh, the date seed, the date khajur, when it's fresh, it's called rutab. It's hard to get that year, but when you go to Medina Munawwara and you pluck it from the tree or you buy it from the marketplace, it's fresh, it's called the rutab. The one we get is called tamar, it's dry. But now we can still do this experience, this experiment. When we eat the fresh or the date or any date, what you have left is hasat, that's called the date pit. That date pit, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned in the hadith, counting Allah's dhikr, the one who counts Allah's names. Man ahsaha, Allah's 99 names, every day will be guaranteed Jannah. Man ahsaha, dakhal al-Jannah, from the word hasat and nawat, which is the pit of the date, of the khajur. Then the ayah of the Quran says, O humanity, whoever you turn to besides Allah, why do you turn to them when they don't even own qitmir? This is the surah before Surah Yasin, Surah Fatir. وَالَّذِينَ تَدْعُونَ مِن دُونِهِ مَا يَمْلِكُونَ مِن قِطْمِيرٍ Whoever you turn to besides Allah, they don't even own qitmir. Allah says, if you call out to them and you want their help, they can't even hear you without Allah's permission. Even if they hear you, they can't even solve your problem without the help of Allah. So Allah is telling us in the Quran, turn to Allah. Then Allah says, O humanity, every one of you need Allah. Allah is telling us, Ya ayyuhan nas, antumul fuqara'u ila Allah. Now, what is this qitmir where Allah says, everyone doesn't even own qitmir? Now, today when you get a chance, especially in the month of Ramadan when you're breaking your fast, eat the khajur and then look at the date pit. And then with your nail, scratch it. A membrane will come out. A very, very faint, light, colorless, tasteless particle. This membrane is so light. It has no weight. It has no value. That membrane, as you scratch it, it's wrapped around the date pit. That in Arabic is qitmir. Allah says, whoever you turn to besides Allah doesn't even own qitmir. But what happened to this Sahabi? He says, while I'm on top of the tree, a relative of my owner comes to him and says, damn this Banu Qayla people, these Arabs. Banu Qayla are Aus and Khazraj. They claim that a man has come to Medina who's their prophet. And this Sahabi says, I hear these words and I started to shiver. I was afflicted with something like a fever. My body got heated up and I fell off the tree and I got grips of myself. I almost fell on my owner. And I rushed behind this individual and I say, sir, please tell me, would you repeat those words to me? My master comes to me, beats me up, lakamani lakmatan shadida, and he chases me. He says, what has this to do with you? You get back to your work. Anyway, I completed my chores. I then took my share of my dates. And now it was my free time. I go to where they say is this messenger of Allah. Sallallahu alayhi wasallam. When I see him, his smile, his approachability. The other Jewish rabbi. And why I also should mention this to you. Because in Surah Baqarah, the first few nights of Taraweeh, you're going to hear Surah Baqarah. Surah Baqarah, half the chapter is about the Jewish community. Many of the Jews, you can ask Haji Ashraf if you are interested. He'll send you We discussed quite a few of the Jews who became great Sahaba. That's why this chapter was revealed in the early stage of Medina Munawwara, because the Jews were living in Medina Munawwara, teaching Muslims how to interact with your local residents who were living in Medina. But what's astonishing is, they were living in Medina. Why? Because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is described in their books. The ayah you're going to hear on the first night of Taraweeh. الَّذِينَ آتَيْنَاهُمُ الْكِتَابِ, those who we've given the book to. يَعْرِفُونَهُ, they recognize my Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam like they recognize their own children. كَمَا يَعْرِفُونَ أَبْنَاهُمْ, they knew our Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's why there's a list of about more than 40 sahaba who come from Jewish background and some from Christian backgrounds. So one of these Jewish rabbis come to meet Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He says, I saw his face, I knew this can never be a liar. His first words, O humanity, afshus salam, make salam prevalent, make salam with abundance, greet everyone with salam, be the first to make salam. Afshus salam, feed people food, wa at'imu at'am, join ties with people, unite, be the first to say sorry and maintain ties, wasilu al-arham. And at night when others are asleep, pray before your creator. وَصَلُّوا بِاللَّيْلِ وَالنَّاسُ نِيَامِ, this would cause your access into paradise very, very easy. So Hazrat, this great sahabi says, when I saw the messenger of Allah, I offered him my share of dates. And I said, I see you and your companions are impoverished. I brought this charity for you. And I am watching from a distance. He shared with others, but he did not partake. The next day, when I had another share of mine, I came to him, wherever he was residing, in Quba at the time. And I said to him, respected senior, I noticed yesterday you didn't partake of my charity. I wanted to honor you with this gift. This report says he brought dates. The report of Bayhaqi says he brought meat as well. So he tried to earn and bring something, and he presented it to the messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The messenger of Allah partook and shared. He says, this was the second sign shared to me by my teacher in Amuriya from the scriptures. Then I'm sitting behind him and he noticed that I'm staring at his back. He removed his shawl and his kurta. He knew what I wanted. And I saw the seal of prophethood behind his heart on his shoulder blade, and I couldn't stop my tears, and I grabbed his feet, and that was the way of the Persians until Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam picked him up and said, yes, Salman. And this was the first time he was called Salman from his former name, and from that day that was his name. But his story doesn't finish there, because he joined Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but only in his free time. That was a little, because he was still a slave, so he was always emotional. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, speak to your master to make you a mukatab slave. And a mukatab slave is someone who can buy his freedom through a certain fee. Ask your master to allow you, what should you pay? And you'll purchase your freedom. He comes the next day emotional, sitting in the corner sad. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, what makes you so sad? He says, oh Allah's Nabi, I'll never buy my freedom. He asked me for 40 uqiyas of gold. That's a large sum, more than 5 kilograms of gold. Where are you going to get that? Do the calculation. What's 22 carat, 26 carat? That's nothing in comparison to 5 kilograms of gold. And it doesn't end there. 300 date palm trees must grow from seedlings. And it takes years. When they grow, then they must bear fruit. When they bear fruit, then I'll get my freedom. Oh Allah's Nabi, I'll have to remain like this for the rest of my life. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, it's not so. He takes the member, he says, oh my Sahaba, everyone try and contribute something. Leave it on this open ground, on this address, and I'll see the seedlings there. Allah's Nabi goes there later on, and the seedlings are waiting. And he with his personal Mubarak hands plants every one of those 300 date palm trees, nakhil. Within a short span, they were sky high, bearing fruit. When they were counted, it was 299. The narrator of this hadith, this part of the hadith is in Tirmidhi. He says, he says that, oh Allah's Nabi, when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam asked, what happened to the one? Why isn't it growing? So the narrator says, oh Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, I wanted to help you. So I put this one in the ground. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam removed it and then re-put it into the ground. And within a short span, there was 300. That's how Hazrat Salman got his freedom. Respected Ummah, the month of Ramadan is coming. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam praised this month. This month is mentioned in the Quran. It's the greatest month. This hadith of Salman radiallahu anhu, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Allah made the fast compulsory. But fasting doesn't mean we have the right to sway people, belittle people, mock people, be cruel with people. It's actually an opportunity for us to feel the hunger of the people of Palestine, the hunger of the people of Syria, the hunger of the people in Africa, to feel the same. And whatever we save, share with the ummah, talk nicely to people, open our arms to love humanity, welcome humanity. This is why the fast, to feel the sufferings of people. And the night, tahajjud, listening to the entire Quran in Taraweeh, that's one. Taraweeh is separate, tahajjud is separate. Tahajjud was throughout the year. Taraweeh is special for the month of Ramadan. To listen to the entire Quran throughout the month of Ramadan and recite abundance of the Quran al-Kareem. For every fast, subhanallah, Allah Ta'ala gives a person multitudes. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, for every nafil, Allah gives us the reward of fard. And look at the boon. For every fard, Allah multiplies it into 70 fara'id. Now this month also teaches us sharing. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, if you help another to break his fast, Allah gives you the reward of his fast. So Sahaba said, oh Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, feeding a full meal, that some Sahaba could do. But some of us don't have that much. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, even if you have a little, give little, Allah will still reward you. You could afford milk, feed people milk. You can afford water, give people water. Kajur, give people kajur. Whatever we can. But each one must give something. It doesn't mean we only give for Allah when we have a lot. Even the little we have, we give from there. That's how we get the blessings from Allah. But everyone should have the quality of giving. And not only when giving Muslims, give our non-Muslim neighbors, friends. We prepare some samosas. Send to Fandamarava next door, our neighbor, a plate of samosas, some booklets. We have some booklets for you. With the plate of samosas, with the plate of khajur, send the booklet. Like that, people will also see the beauty of Islam. Because the first few days of Ramadan, you're going to be listening to how to give da'wah to the Jews. Then you're going to be listening to how to give da'wah to the Christians. Surah Ali Imran. Ali Imran is giving da'wah to the Christians. Imran was the grandfather of Christ. Then you have Surah An'am coming thereafter. How to talk to Hindus, how to talk to idolaters. All of us try, inshallah. And in the month of Ramadan, like our good deeds are multiplied, sins are also multiplied. And I'll finish with this hadith. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, the one who preserves himself from sin. So it's not only deeds, but to stay away from sin. Ramadan is to train us. That's why we have to abstain. From certain practices that we perpetrate, we have to stay away from it. If we have weaknesses, we have to learn to protect our gaze, learn to protect our limbs, learn to protect our tongues from backbiting, from slander. So the one who stays away from sin, sa'an and nafsahu fi shahri Ramadan. فَلَمْ يَشْرَبْ فِيهِ مُسْكِرًا Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, he makes sure in Ramadan, no intoxicants. وَلَمْ يَرْمِ فِيهِ مُؤْمِنًا بِالْبُهْتَانِ No slander, no backbiting. And he aspires to stay away from all sorts of sin. وَلَمْ يَعْمَلْ فِيهِ خَطِيئَةً For every fast, one is Allah will give him all the pleasures in paradise. But for every fast, Allah will give him qasran fil jannah, a palace in paradise. You know what size palace? Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, now you know, property portfolio, very expensive, very difficult, maintenance very, very hard. In paradise, Allah gives him such a palace, maintained. لو أن الدنيا جمعت فجعلت في ذلك القصر. The whole world bundled, put into this one palace that one mu'min will get for one fast in the month of Ramadan. لم تكن في إلا كمربط عنز في الدنيا. The entire world will not even be equivalent to a kraal, a pasture of some goats. That small pasture in comparison to the whole dunya, that is this whole dunya. In comparison to the palace Allah will give every mu'min for every fast. And what's inside that palace? The hadith also describes the damsels, the pleasures, the food, the trees, the rivers, the water, the honey, and every sort of pleasure. So that's the place to aspire for. Life is short. Let's capitalize in the month of Ramadan. One is to do more good deeds like reading Quran. We would encourage you also to read a translation. Read the Arabic. Very important. But also read the translation Quran at certain times to be inspired by Allah's message. And then also share the message with the world. But very importantly, the sins that we are accustomed to, we have to leave those sins. Don't wait for next week. No, we have to start bringing ourselves onto the correct lane. See, we are on the right-hand side lane. But in a kilometer or two, we're actually taking the off-ramp, which is Ramadan. The unwise thing is wait for the last second and then cut through, then we'll meet up in an accident. Just all of a sudden, Ramadan takes us by surprise. Already now, come to the middle lane and then shift to the actual lane so that easily we're ready for Ramadan. Because this month, Sha'ban, is also very, very special. Allah give us tawfiq. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil ummi bi rahmatika ya rahmal rahimin.